Welcome to Double Take with Matt and Jake. This is Jake, joined by Matt. As always, today's December 26th, day after Christmas. I hope everybody had a great Christmas. A lot of stuff going on this week. A lot of NBA action, a lot of NFL action yesterday. We haven't talked about baseball at all. There's a lot of free agency stuff. We were kind of waiting for Carlos Correa to sign, but that is still up in the air. So we're just going ahead. I'm going to talk a lot about baseball free agency. A little bit of NBA stuff, possibly just a peek at the standings. Next week will be a lot of football. College football playoffs will have happened by then. So maybe we can do a quick, you know, recap of those or preview of those as well. I know we already did an episode on that. And then top five. I'll tell you later what we're going to do. But a lot of good stuff today. Mostly baseball, though. A little bit of basketball, possibly a little bit of football. And next week we'll do a lot of football, recapping the semifinals and looking at the national championship. But before we get into it, Matt, how are you? How was your Christmas?
Christmas was great. It was kind of a low-key Christmas, which I like. It was we all slept over at our mom's house, which was the first time we've done that in many years, potentially since we were in college.
And possibly the last time as well.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, who knows, but
yeah, just cause so our little brother had his kid who's one was here with his wife and his dog, and it probably just gets harder the older the kids get and they want to do their own thing and stuff. But yeah, all of us went to church together for the first time in probably since like a missionary, like homecoming or something like that.
Yeah. So it was neat. Good Christmas. Got a lot of good books for my reading list.
I got a lot of t-shirts. Matt got books. Was most of our Christmas.
Yes, as is tradition.
Yeah. So, all good stuff though.
Yeah, we and then just went and ate omelets with our Uncle Barry and Aunt Carla. They always invite us over for that every year, so that was fun. Played some Uno, and so overall just kind of good, relaxing Christmas.
Just finished watching Spirited, literally like 10 minutes ago. Good movie.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it.
Yeah, no, good movie, pleasant experience, which for me, I'm very critical because of being an English teacher, an English major and those things, but did a lot of things well, you know? I don't think we have enough things that have happy endings, and I thought that was a happy ending without being cheap, you know? Like, there were consequences, but still, things kind of worked out the way they're supposed to, so I was pretty happy with it.
Yeah, all good stuff. Anything Ryan Reynolds says, I'm going to like, because you still need to see Welcome to Wrexham.
On the list.
It's a really good show.
On the list.
All right, let's get into some baseball. We just go through kind of the deals and talk about it and see what, you know, teams we like and things like that. I guess the first thing, we might as well start with Carlos Correa. Signed a huge deal to San Francisco Giants. They had concerns with the physical. So less than 12 hours later, he signed a deal with the New York Mets for 12 years, $315 million. Not as big as the Giants, but still a really big deal. And then the Mets came out that they have concern over his physical as well. Latest news is he hasn't like officially signed that. I don't know if they're being like renegotiating that, if he's talking to other teams. It's kind of been dark since then. And the injury, it seems to be in when he was in minor league baseball, he slid and broke his leg and had to get surgery. It hasn't bothered him with Houston or Minnesota in the majors, but that's the injury that the concern's over. And, man, it just seems like a whirlwind, the poor guy. Last year would have been in line for a lot of these deals, but with the lockout, it was hard to negotiate, so he just took a one-year deal in Minnesota. I'm worried about it. You know, I was worried when the Giants signed him just because that's a lot of money for a shortstop. In New York with the Mets, he'd be playing third base, which you feel a little better about, and hitting can, you know, is a skill that goes longer than being a shortstop and as far as athleticism and things like that. We'll talk a little bit about that with some of the other shortstop deals. But yeah, crazy, crazy roller coaster. I think he'll probably end up in New York, but I don't know if it'll be a smaller deal or shorter deal or what. But other than he was in the Houston cheating scandal, so you don't feel too bad for him. You feel a little bad for him.
Sure. Now, for those of us who are not as well versed in baseball, is this an injury that he picked up while he was playing in Minnesota for that 1 year, or is it something that has just kind of developed and gotten worse while he has been in
Minnesota. No, it didn't bother him in Minnesota. It didn't bother him in Houston. He got in minor league baseball.
Mm-hmm.
And so years ago, and had surgery. It hasn't bothered him, but it's something that came up. And teams don't have access to it. And, you know, once you sign someone to do a physical, that's when you have access to those, like, deeper medical records. So Minnesota was willing to sign him, and they obviously went through the physical process with him last year. But it's something significant enough to bother both New York and San Francisco.
Yeah, so that is too bad. So hopefully he figures something out. It's crazy that all these 30-year-olds are getting these huge 10-year contracts, which is like, because I don't know any baseball players that are 45 years old.
No, well, Aaron Judge is 9 years. He's 30 right now. He's even older than a lot of the guys we're going to be talking about. So he'll be 39 or 40 when he's done with that contract, and he's making $40 million a year for the Yankees.
$40 million a year.
Trey Turner signed with Philadelphia from the Dodgers shortstop. His is an 11-year deal, so he'll be 40 as well, or roughly 40. And his whole game is based off of athleticism, both at shortstop as well as, you know, base running, base stealing, things like that. So that's the skill that's going to age the worst. So I'd feel more comfortable about Xander Bogaerts. He's 30 now, also signed an 11-year deal. But as athletic as he is, he's not the focal point of his game like Trey Turner is, if that makes sense.
Yes, yeah. So I feel like Philly, you know, maybe they just feel like, hey, we got a window right now. Let's try to do something with it. And this is another thing that I think is a little bit different with baseball contracts than maybe with basketball contracts. I feel like with baseball, there's more opportunities for the players to opt out. I haven't looked at these contracts necessarily. I don't know that the teams get quite as much flexibility. I feel like it's also not quite like football where a team can sort of just cut you whenever they want.
Yeah, like with a lot of it was shorter deals, like Correa's deal with the Giants that fell through had a no trade clause, no opt out. Most of the deals I like look in the details are with the Giants, but like Carlos Rodon last year with the Giants signed a 2-year, $44 million deal and had an opt out after year one, which he took. So this offseason, and went and signed with the Yankees and signed a 6-year, $162 million deal. I don't believe that one has any player opt-outs, but I'm not sure. But you're right to the general point. Yeah.
So we'll see. You know, I have a hard feeling that Trey Turner is going to end up playing for the Phillies until he's 40. But who knows? Because this is kind of a new contract era starting a few years ago in the Mike Trout, Bryce Harper era. Or at least these numbers weren't quite thrown around.
It makes Bryce Harper's deal look cheap.
Yeah.
That he signed with Philly a few years ago and almost signed with San Francisco, which I wish he would have.
Yeah.
One thing that, I mean, that I think is the most interesting part, Jacob deGrom signed early with the Texas Rangers. He got 5 years, so that'll take him to about age 39 based on the spot track, like, ages that I'm looking at in the contract years. And I doubt, like, if it was any other team, I would just assume the Mets didn't want to offer that much or that length of time, but they turned around and signed Justin Verlander to a two-year deal where he's making over $40 million a year, and he's 39 right now. So I don't know why. Maybe DeGrom just didn't want to be in New York, but I don't see the Mets, and they're just spending more money than anybody else. Their payroll is going to be almost $500 million factoring in the luxury tax. I don't get why, and it must just be something personal, like DeGrom didn't want to be in New York, or he's from a smaller town in Florida, so maybe just wanted to be not in a city. And I know Dallas is still a big city, but it's more spread out, you know.
Sure.
It's not New York. Maybe just wanted, I don't know what else it would be to get DeGrom to leave the Mets.
Yeah. It is interesting, yeah, Mets being big spenders. One team we're not seeing spending a lot right now is the Dodgers, which is, I mean, I know they're already paying a ton of money, but they've also lost a lot of players.
They lost Trey Turner. They lost Justin Turner, who went to Boston. Last year, they lost Kaelin Jansen, so I know that's not what we're talking about. Tyler Anderson, who's a really good pitcher for them this season, went to the Angels, which I don't love that move for them. Let's see. They lost Cody Bellinger. They lost Chris Martin. Bellinger signed a 1-year deal with Chicago. and a couple few other guys that they lost. But I think, and if normally I'd be like, oh, LA didn't sign anybody. Awesome. As a Giants fan, I never want them to do well. I'm worried they're just kind of letting it breathe a little bit, their salary. So next year they can just load up for Shohei Ohtani is what I'm worried they're going to try to do.
Yeah, he's, and I know that sounds crazy kind of for one player. Obviously, he's a really, really great player. But it'll be interesting how they value that contract, considering you're kind of paying for a pitcher and a, what will he play, designated hitter? Is he a first baseman? What does he do?
Yeah, he designated hits for the most part if he's hit when he's batting.
Yeah. So that, yeah, that's going to be very, very strange to see how they're going to value that and how they're going to pay him for basically playing two positions.
I think, I know Judge hit the, you know, the record, the AL record for home runs was 62, and was a big part of the Yankees' success, and especially before the All-Star break, they were crushing it. But with Ohtani, when you factor in, he's a really good hitter, really good pitcher, you're also factoring in a roster spot. I don't think people were thinking this hard about it, which is understandable. But not only do you get everything that Ohtani brings, but you get another player, like another relief pitcher or another like infielder or something like that, added value to your team as well. Because you're not taking up two roster spots on a starting pitcher and a designated hitter like every other team in baseball. So I don't think that's something that voters factored in, which I get. But if you think of it that way, it's a no-brainer. But are we going to give the award to Ohtani every year? I think if he's the most valuable player, you should.
Yeah, I mean, if that's what it is, and that's, well, I don't know how you are. I'm kind of one of these people that thinks that LeBron James should have won MVP 12 years in a row. Kind of like in soccer, how it's either Ronaldo or Messi every single year winning the Ballon d'Or. It's certainly boring, but it's accurate.
I think voter fatigue is dumb, and I think it should be accurate, and it shouldn't just be who has the best story. Like, Russell Westbrook should have either won three MVPs or none, because if in the NBA, it's 98% of the time you're a top three team in your conference on the MVP winner. The Thunder were, I think, six the year that Russell won. That
sounds right, yeah.
And then the next year, and they won it because of the KD storyline, and he averaged a triple-double. The next year, he averaged better numbers, and the Thunder did better, but he didn't win it. So if we're setting that precedent that, oh, Russ is so amazing, then he should have won it the next year as well.
Yeah.
So it bothers me, and the next year as well. That really bothers me, how it's like fleeting in storylines. It should just be who is the most valuable player. I don't, for the record, I don't think Russ should have won it that year. But since we gave it to him, we should have given him the next two as well.
Yeah, see, and I'm the opposite. I sort of think he should have won almost the 3 years. I would need to look at the third year and who actually won MVP those years. But the thing with Russ winning is, like, the Thunder, I know that they're only the sixth seed, but they would have been garbage without him. I mean, they would have been a lottery team. It was kind of, it was sort of like, you know, just as a Jazz fan, how devastated I was with Gordon Hayward leaving and thinking how terrible we were going to be. And then Donovan Mitchell came in and actually made us a playoff team, and how important Donovan Mitchell was. Russell Westbrook was like that like 10 times. And obviously he was on the team. He wasn't coming out like a rookie, but just like thinking how disappointed the fans must have been, and then how much fun that season was for them, and how well they were able to do compared to what they would have done. Cause that's kind of how I think about it. It's like, if we take this player off the team, how much worse do you do? And I think, you know, I would need to look at the other 2 years, but certainly that first year, and I think the year after as well, you take Russell Wilson off the Thunder, Westbrook, excuse me. They are, you know, probably winning the lottery two of those 3 years.
Yeah, no, it's, yeah, I mean, I think either way as an argument, it should either be just all or nothing like we talked about, you know?
Yeah.
Is my thoughts. But anyway, who were we talking about Shohei Ohtani with that?
We were talking about Ohtani. Okay.
Yeah. Let's see. What else? Dansby Swanson signed. I actually haven't looked at the Atlanta Braves farm system, so I don't know. I feel like they wouldn't have let Swansby go if they weren't fine at shortstop. And I think last year, I feel like Atlanta, like, they won the championship. They got Matt Turner in that trade. I feel like they still have a good roster where they feel confident to overcome losing Swanson. And Chicago, the Cubs were just so bad last year. They got Bellinger. They got Swanson. I still don't think they're going to be great, but I feel like there's just like pressure to like do stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, no, I get that.
So that's what's going on, in my opinion. They got James Talion. I don't know how to pronounce his name. Talion. I never watched the American League, so I know who he is. I just don't know how to pronounce his name. But they got him from the Yankees as well. Let's see. What else? Honestly, the big picture is like Philadelphia. They got Turner, so I think they're going to, you know, be better next season. I think that was the biggest. I don't know. I would say shortstop. Like, and their shortstop was a good defensive player, but he's like bad at eighth or ninth in the lineup for the most part. If they can have everybody else maintain their level of play, which is a big if, then I think they could be back.
Well, the Phillies are interesting, and I have a couple more questions to ask you, but the Phillies are interesting because obviously they made the World Series. We know they can turn it on, but how good do we think the Phillies actually are? Because they barely made it in the playoffs. They, if not the last team in, they were one of the last two teams, had to win the wild card series over the Cardinals, which they lost the first game of.
They were almost lost the first game.
Almost lost the first
game. That was the one they were down by two runs in the ninth inning.
Oh, I thought that was the second game. Yeah. But anywho, yeah, but that's the thing, is they're just so close to being eliminated. So how good do we think the Phillies actually are?
Well, that's what's tough about baseball, because a lot of it is if you can just get in, then we'll see what happens. You know, because like if they don't come back in the ninth inning in that wild card game, they probably lose that series.
Yeah.
Just realistically speaking, but they end up winning that game, winning the series. They were the last team in the National League, and also in their same division, the Mets just loaded up their roster, and they probably should have won the division last year. Blew it to the Braves. The only thing they lost is Swanson and Kenley Jensen. Might take a tiny step back, but I still think they'll be in the mix as well. So stuff went on paper. You're the third best team in the division, but you went to the World Series. Do you go all in, or do you try to like kind of keep building? It looks like they're going all in. It'll be tough for them to overcome the Mets again, but I feel like they should feel confident about getting into the playoffs at least.
And that's like what you said. We get into the playoffs, then you know anything can happen. I think that going all in does make a lot of sense for them, because you know we said that Bryce Harper's contract looks kind of cheap now. That's still a ton of money, and it's an absolute generational player. And time is not, he's still got a few years left, but it's also like, if the team is good now, that's not going to last another 5 years, even if Bryce Harper does. So you got to figure out how to work that out.
Yeah.
So obviously if you've got any other free agents you want to talk about, we should, but I'm interested in just looking at it right now, seeing who has moved. Are you seeing anybody who was a contender that you think is going to fall back, and are you seeing anybody who was not a contender that we didn't notice last year that is going to look very good?
Well, the Dodgers are tough because, like we said, they didn't do anything. They lost a few players, but they also, like, when you watch a Dodgers game, like, their eighth batter would be like the third batter on like 20 other teams,
right?
You know what I mean? Like, it's just, they were so good. Like, I feel like losing players, like losing Justin Turner and things like that, they're still going to be fine. I would still expect them to beat the Padres, who added Xander Bogaerts. So when Tatis Jr. comes back, I feel like that means he's going to be playing outfield, and they're just going to try to have him hit. Like, the Padres are another team that did, like, at least tried to make a big splash. They got Juan Soto in the trade last year, signed Xander Bogaerts away from Boston. So I feel like if I'm San Diego, I'm like, this is our year, we're going to do it. And if I'm in Los Angeles, I'm like, we're fine, we're good.
Yeah,
I wouldn't be worried at all. I'd be stoked if I were the Padres, like, thinking we're going to get the Dodgers. And if I'm the Dodgers, I would not feel nervous at all.
Yeah.
Is kind of where we're at in that realm. The Yankees, you know, adding Carlos Rodon, he's injury prone, but obviously a very good pitcher. They got Aaron Judge back. I'm worried about a little regression. Even a lot of regression. He could still hit half. If he regresses 50%, he still hits 30 home runs. Right. You know what I mean? So I think the Yankees are still going to be good. Philadelphia, I think, would take – I guess the only thing I'd see, like, I would bet Philly finishing ahead of Atlanta just because of the Trey Turner addition, I think, and the Cubs got Swanson from Philadelphia. I'm trying to think what else. I think, yeah, if I had to pick a National League winner, I'd probably – do you have to say the Mets just because of – everything they've done, all the money they spent? I don't know who else.
I mean, kind of. We said that about the Dodgers, and they – I'm not – did they win their first playoff series?
No, they lost to the Padres.
Yeah, see, that's what I mean. Yeah. You know, like, so
they dominated the Padres in the regular season, then lost in the playoffs.
It's just such a weird, unpredictable playoff. So
yeah,
so yeah, I don't know that you have to pick the Mets. I mean, certainly, I think picking them for the one seed is fair.
And Houston hasn't done much. They signed Jose Abreu. Other than that, they haven't done much. But they've been in the World Series. Like, wasn't that their like fourth trip or fifth trip since 2017? And they've won two of them. Like,
yeah.
I would still, I guess, pick Houston. I know it's hard to win two World Series in a row, but yeah, I guess you have to pick Houston or New York, but we'll see. I think the White Sox last year, I thought were going to be really good. They were disappointing, so I wonder if they can kind of pick it up and do better this year as well. Minnesota didn't make the playoffs. They should take a step back. I'm trying to think. I thought Tampa Bay was going to be a lot better than they were. They got Zach Eflin from Philly. I think Tampa Bay will be better. And they even made the playoffs last year, but I would expect Tampa Bay to be better and, like, seriously contend for the World Series in the American League instead of just, like, being in the playoffs next year.
Yeah.
But that's more like they added Zach Eflin. Other than that, they haven't added too much, but they're just Tampa Bay. So I just trust them more than most other teams.
Right.
I still think the Cubs are going to be bad. Texas could be interesting. The Rangers, they got Jacob DeGrom, obviously. More importantly, I think they got, I don't know if it's more important, but they got Bruce Bochy, the Giants manager. They must be paying him a ton of money to come out of retirement.
Yeah, because, I mean, there was no real reason for him to leave San Francisco, so he must have been really happy to retire when he did. So
yeah. So I'm interested to see what the Rangers do, because last year they got Kyle Seager. They were one of the highest payrolls in baseball last year, and they added not a whole lot this offseason, but DeGrom, like, probably best pitcher in baseball. Bochy's a top five manager in baseball. It's a pretty good offseason still.
Yeah.
So I would be interested to see if Texas can challenge Seattle, who made the playoffs last year, and Houston, who's been dominating that division in the American League Central.
Interesting. Only got to wait another 3 months now. It's getting pretty close.
Yeah.
It's March.
Spring training's in late February as it starts. So, like, 2 months to spring training, then another a month till the actual season starts. So,
yeah.
Spring training is awesome.
Never been.
It's super fun. My apartment in Arizona was literally like 10 minutes from the Giants Stadium, which is like right in Old Town. Just so much fun.
Yeah.
Just relaxed. If you don't like baseball, you would like spring training more than like a regular baseball game. As far as, like, actually going.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah. So, that's baseball. We'll talk about it again once spring training starts. You know, we'll see where Carlos Correa signs. We'll get some more free agency updates and just kind of have a better idea of kind of what we think the season's going to look like. But, do you have any other baseball questions?
I don't think so.
Let's take 10 seconds on the NBA standings really quick and then do the top five. So, in the East, Celtics 1, Bucks 2, Cavs 3. I think that's the biggest surprise. Nets 4, Sixers 5. I won't read the whole thing, but let's just look. So the Bulls are disappointing to me. The Cavaliers are a pleasant surprise in the East for me.
Yeah, well, the thing is, I don't know, because the Cavs, I thought the Cavs were going to be very good. Donovan Mitchell is great, and he's playing, I think, maybe even better than I expected him to be.
I saw they'd be like 5-7.
Yeah. Well, that's my thing is I don't know that they are, you know, surprising more so than the Nets and the Sixers are disappointing. I mean, we knew that the Nets were going to be a crapshoot, although they've been playing much better recently than they were at the beginning of the season. The Sixers is the one where you would think they would be just a little bit higher. I mean, honestly, they're only two games back of the Cavs, though. So it's not like they're really, really far behind. They're actually on an 8-game win streak right now. So yeah, I think this is the most interesting the East has been probably in our lifetime.
Yeah. I would pick the Sixers to finish ahead of the Cavs, like, today.
For the end of the season, you think?
Yeah, by the end of the season.
Yeah, I would think by the end of the season that happens. I think that the Cavs, you know, come back to the ground just a little bit. But Donovan is, you know, despite what has happened with the Jazz, I think Donovan's a great playoff player. I don't know that anybody, they're that team no one wants to see, I think, potentially.
Yeah. So we'll see. And we'll, now that football's ending, we'll get a lot more into basketball as well. Be able to watch a lot more of it. In the West here, we got Pelicans number two is probably the biggest surprise. The Lakers, not surprising, are all the way down at 13. There's kind of a mess. Warriors at 11. I think they're like 3-16 or something like that on the road. The 49ers have more road wins than the Warriors this season.
That is pretty crazy.
Yeah, that's kind of sad. Jazz at 7, Mavericks at 8. I honestly, none of this I expected other than like the Grizzlies in 3 seems about right.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, Phoenix should be higher. I mean, Nuggets are good. I didn't expect them to be quite this high. Kings in 6 is shocking because I thought they got way worse with the trades they made, losing Tyrese Halliburton.
For Sabonis?
Yeah, that surprises me.
They've been on a heater the last like couple months or so, though. Month or two, whatever.
Yeah. So that one's surprising. Yeah, Jazz I thought were going to be the worst team in the league. And so, but they've actually, you know, found some interesting ways to win and play together. So they're kind of a fun team to watch right
now. Yeah, they were like number one at one point in the West, dropped down a little bit. If I'd pick a team I'm most confident in, it'd probably be out of teams like in the playoff picture today, which so that doesn't include the Warriors, probably be Phoenix or the Mavericks just because Suns have been there. Mavericks have the best player in Luka Doncic. So I would expect those teams to rise up the standings a little bit. And especially the Mavericks, I think they'll get into the top six and out of the play-in game, I think. Pelicans are surprising. Even if they finish high, I don't necessarily think they'll make a deep, deep run. But that's been the most surprising thing. And Zion's back to his form from his rookie season, or at least, you know, close to it.
Right. Yeah, no, Pelicans, I don't think they're going to finish too. I think they're going to finish very high. And yeah, you know, and this year, I don't think they need to make a deep playoff run. I think for them, it's about getting into the playoffs, getting a little bit of experience. Like the Grizzlies a couple of years ago, coming in as the 8 seed, being the Warriors in the play-in game, and then losing to the Jazz. And now they're a team, I think, that, you know, they've got a real shot to go to the NBA Finals. I don't know that I'm picking them, but I'm definitely going to think about them when I do make my picks.
Yeah, definitely. Let's do the top five, shall we?
Let's do the top five.
So this, and if you can hear piano music, that is our little sister. We are not at our house where we're normally recording, so that's why we have a little more background noise going on, so I apologize for that. We're going to do the top five Midwestern states. So this is the top five states in the Midwest, purely subjective. Number one is Indiana. Been there a couple times. I actually think it's surprisingly pretty in both places, or every part of Indiana I've been to. So Indiana's number one. Never been to Indianapolis, but I've been a lot of other places around the state. Two is Illinois for the second Midwest state. Chicago's obviously an awesome city.
Mm-hmm.
Incredible. In the southern part of Illinois, you've been to with me, you know, a little corn action, you know, yeah. They had those mounds, Indian mounds, Cahokia,
mm-hmm.
Huge like Native American mounds like back in the day. Third's Michigan. I haven't been to that much of Michigan, but the part I liked, very pretty, very scenic, seemed just like a little farm, really pretty like fall leaves. So Michigan's number three. Four's Iowa. Probably should be higher because the Field of Dreams is there.
That's true, yeah.
Yeah, probably should be higher. Field of Dreams was awesome. We had a really good burger there in Des Moines. Really cool state capital. And number five is Missouri. I don't know what we would count as the Midwest. So that's what I was going to ask you. Because I would count Missouri, but I wouldn't count Kansas.
Yeah, Kansas, what, no?
I would count, like, Kansas, Oklahoma. And honestly, even Missouri's probably pushing it. Because I would count Missouri as, like, the plains. But kind of, like, I've heard people from Missouri think they're the Midwest.
No, I think Missouri's the Midwest. I think Missouri's kind of the edge of the Midwest.
But I would count, like, Kansas and Oklahoma and, like, that part, the south part of Missouri is, like, their own thing. And then the north part by Iowa and St. Louis as, like, St. Louis I would count as the Midwest, but Kansas City not, in my head.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Ohio definitely is. I'm not sure where the Dakotas fall. I wasn't going to put them up for consideration anyways. I feel like every person you talk to is different as far as.
Yeah, I think you could make an argument for Kansas and Kansas and Nebraska. So if we've got listeners from Kansas and Nebraska, let us know whether you're in the Midwest or not.
Because I would, in my head, I would count like Lincoln and Omaha as the Midwest, but I don't know, like the western part of Nebraska that's right by Wyoming. I don't know if I'd count that.
Yeah.
You know, because Wyoming's not.
Right.
Line's got to be somewhere.
But if one part of a state is, you'd think the rest of the state would be.
Well, I don't, yeah. What, maybe it's by time zone, because part of Nebraska is in the mountain time zone.
That's true. Yeah, if you're dividing yourself by time zone, then we gotta.
So we'll say that. Our official ruling is the part of Nebraska that's in central time zone is the Midwest. Part of Nebraska that's not is not the Midwest. I don't know what it would be as.
Yeah, though. I don't know.
Anyway. Okay. That's our Midwest viewing. So just recap. Indiana, Illinois, Michigan, Iowa, Missouri.
All right. Okay, so one major problem, really just one major problem this week, and there's no Wisconsin.
I haven't been.
You haven't been? Okay, so these are the ones you have been to.
Well, I just can't judge. That's like the only one I haven't been to, but I can't judge the state I haven't been to.
Okay, well, can I tell? Do you know what they put on their burgers in Wisconsin?
Cheese curds?
Butter. Just butter. I feel like if that does not make you a Midwest state, then I don't know what does.
Well, it's not like the most Midwest
state. And they have cheese curds, to your point. They got the cheese curds. Yeah. They wear cheese on their hats. For the Packers fans anyway. So I don't know. What I think like Midwest people like hunkering down in the cold, eating a burger with butter on it, you know, that just seems like a Midwesty thing.
Well, it wasn't what state is the most Midwest, it's what's the best one. And I haven't been to Wisconsin.
What would be better than butter on a burger?
I haven't been there, so I can't count it in the ranking.
You should go.
I want to, really bad. Yeah. Utah is playing Wisconsin in a few years. Also,
there you go.
Want to go back to Chicago, and it's right over the border.
Yeah, there you go. So cross over the border.
Yeah, so a couple reasons. Also, North Carolina's playing Minnesota in 24, so hopefully can go out to Minnesota for that reason.
Hopefully, yeah.
So that's top five. That's our baseball episode, one of the three or four we do all year. I hope everybody had a Merry Christmas. Next week, we'll be recapping, it's whatever point we record, probably Tuesday or Wednesday next week, the college football playoffs. So a lot to look forward to. Really excited about it. I hope everybody had a good Christmas and a happy new year. Feel free to give us a present by leaving us a 5-star review and subscribing if you haven't done so. And we will talk to you guys next week.